for Josh Johnson!
So much is going into the Super Bowl this year. Not only is it Chiefs versus Eagles, there's so much more at play, you know? Like, everybody talks about Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce because they're this idea of, like, the couple we imagine in our minds, but they're adults. It's like high school, but grown up. You know what I mean? Because she symbolically is like this cheerleader in our minds, this like head cheerleader, and he, it's not his position, but it's symbolically the quarterback in our minds. And so them getting together makes such perfect rom-com sense that there are actually people who think that all of the NFL is fixed just to keep the Chiefs winning, just to keep them going. And honestly, you kind of have to give Taylor props. There are people that think she's so powerful. She is single-handedly shifting the course of the NFL. You know? Because this is my thing with it. You know, if it's fixed, why would they be tackling so hard? You don't need to sell it that bad. If most of the teams know they're not going to the Super Bowl, I think you lay off of a couple hits. I don't think anybody's getting CTE as part of a script. I look at Taylor Swift. I look at what they did to Taylor Swift, especially that part of the season when her and Travis Kelce were just starting to date and they cut to her for no reason. And then people got mad that they were cutting to her. They'd be like, why do you keep cutting to Taylor? But Taylor can't control the camera. Taylor was just trying to eat. And then they cut to her. And then she's doing her best to probably not look annoyed. But also, she's genuinely having a good time. She's there with her friends. Yeah, touchdown. Yeah, right. But then people are like, why do you keep cutting to her? I don't know. This has never happened before. Cameraman's excited, too. They might not even mean to cut to her every time. They're just probably like, man, this is a good play, but I wonder what Taylor's up to. Don't get mad at Taylor because the cameraman got a crush. And so then Taylor Swift, Travis Kelce together. Now, Travis Kelce is an interesting dude to me. He really is. Because Travis Kelce, up until this point, I think, I don't know him that well, I don't follow him that closely, but I think he had, like, mostly, if not only, dated black women before Taylor, you know? And so he has like a fade. So this dude has a fade, and people were asking him about his fade because he has his platform raised. He was already super popular, but his platform got knocked up a few levels by dating Taylor. There were more eyes on him than ever before. And so then, you know, everyone was asking him about his fade. And then about exactly a year ago, from when I'm speaking right now, they asked him about his fade and what it was like to, like, invent that look. And to his credit, Travis Kelce said, it's the first day of Black History Month. What are you trying to do to me? Which, what an answer. You know what I mean? Like, this is the thing I really didn't think about until that moment, is that if you're, like, a white dude, right, and something ignorant or even bigoted happens around you, somebody asks an ignorant question or somebody just says something, right, the expectation, if you're a good guy, is to say something immediately, just really stand up and be like, hey, that's not cool, that's not okay, don't do that, right? know, just really, you can't even give it a second. You have to be like, hey, stop right there, okay? Hey, listen here, pal, cut it out. Hey, look, buddy, don't go any further, all right? Gosh darn it, that's racist. Don't you dare. Not in my house, not. Nah, get a load of this guy. No way. Not today, brother. Right? That's the expectation that you're going to like notice it. You're gonna catch it and you're going to jump on it immediately. And if you don't do that, then you must have been with that thing. That's the assumption, right? But then you're also, and I really didn't give some of my white friends enough credit in this position. If you take too much of a stand, that's also suspicious. You know what I mean? You hear me? Like if something like ignorant happens around you, or an ignorant question gets asked of you, and then you're like, what? No! Racism? Not today. Nah, buddy, I'm putting my foot down. Like, because then people are like, oh, what? Are you hiding something? Why are you so amped up like this? You know? And so to his credit, he's like, guys, look, it's the first day of Black History Month. What are you trying to do to me? All right. I didn't invent that look. Okay? I got a barber. He knows how to do the taper. Trim it down in the back. Two or the four. But if you want a fade, I know a guy. I know a dude. He's good. You know, he does mine. Travis Kelce's sitting there like, what kind of questions are you asking me? How do y'all not know any black people? You cover the NFL. What's wrong with you? You know? And Travis and Taylor together, they do, to me at least, you know, the little bit that I engage with, because I don't necessarily follow either one of them closely, but every time I see them together, they do look like picture perfect in a way where I'm like, okay, obviously you're going to get the conspiracy theories, but the conspiracy theories were weird to me because they were like people upset. But what's there to be upset about? It's football. She's blonde. We're in America. This is the most American thing that could be happening. And there are people that are like, no, it's a psyop. I'm like, against who? It's a beautiful white couple. Who are we trying to trick? What is the plan here? That's how you can tell there are some people that just need to be mad about anything possible. I'm like, what? You're the one that said stop kneeling, and now you're mad at Taylor and Travis Kelce for holding hands. What's crazy about the Super Bowl for me is that no matter who wins, no matter who it is, the celebrations I've always found very odd. You know? I understand celebrating when you get the touchdown. I love those. I hate it when the NFL tried to like clamp down on any showboat, any celebrations, because you just did one of the hardest things in the world. Imagine if you did that for like a scientist. Scientist finds the cure and he can't even do a little. And you're like, Josh, why are you comparing scientists finding cures to players getting a touchdown? I'm telling you right now, they're almost as hard as each other. Because I have some pretty sizable individuals in my family, you know. And I have a cousin, he's 2'11", all muscle. If I wanted to get around him, I'd need something sharp. So trust me when I tell you, if I get around this man and then outrun him and then get a touchdown, I'm hitting the... I'm hitting it hard. I'm hitting it in his face because it may never happen again. I love like a good touchdown celebration. They spike that ball and then you see what moves they have because these are big men. These are very big men. So they're not always the most agile. Like they're good at running, but usually in a straight line. A lot of the times when these players fall, it's falls where, look, I'm not a professional athlete, but I don't tip that easy. Every once in a while, you'll see an NFL player run it, and then somebody just sort of moves their shoulder, and they're like, uh-oh. That's my favorite, is when they catch it, and then somebody's too close, and they're like, we going down, all right. No, but when they get in the zone, they've spiked the ball, there's a couple seconds left, and they're allowed to celebrate. This is when you could really do it. And they hit something you didn't even think was possible. You know, really flowy with it. You know what I mean? They use their hips and stuff. And so, you know, that's my favorite. I wish it was even longer. They should get more time to do it, you know? Like hockey has whole breaks for fights. You could let a guy run in and get on his hands and knees, and then the other guy's like, yeah! No, I'm telling you, it's a beautiful thing to see them that excited, that happy. This is what they work for. This is what they put their bodies on the line for, and it's why they're in pain most of the time. These dudes retire, and it's not like they can just take an Advil. They just have headaches for the rest of their life. And so in this moment, they did what they came to do. They scored. Maybe they won. Let them celebrate, you know? Some of the celebrations I don't get, though. Like, when they win and they have to throw some sort of liquid on the coach. I feel like we never ask the coach how they feel about it. Because they don't always look excited. It's almost like a requirement that whatever... it is, has to have some ice. And it has to be a surprise. They never do it from the front. It's always just poured all over the coach. Why is it? They win. They did what they came here to do. And they look at the coach and they're like, yeah, drown him. He'll love it. On top of everything, With Travis and Taylor and the Chiefs, you have the Eagles fans. Truly remarkable. They're terrifying. And it doesn't matter who wins because whichever city wins, this happens every year, every Super Bowl, every Stanley Cup, whichever city wins, looks like it's been attacked the next day. Why is it that the winning city looks so busted? The day you won, why are you tearing up your city? The team will win, and then their old fans will go out into the city and cause so much destruction. You would think the other team sent their city. Like, go get them, Kansas City. What they did to us. You know, I've watched it happen. You know, I lived in Chicago when the Blackhawks won the Stanley Cup. And a bus. They were leaving. Everybody's excited. And then there was just like a group think, that's a bus. It shouldn't be right side up. Let's go correct that right now. And then the bus driver is sitting in the bus like, y'all, I'm your ride. Why are y'all? Uh-oh, we're going down. And on top of it all, oof, you have the Super Bowl halftime show. Performed by Kendrick Lamar. And as far as we know, SZA and potentially some other guests, you know. And this is wild. You know, Kendrick said it about himself, but truly, we're seeing astronomical, historical levels of him being the biggest hater in the world. Fundamental hate. A hater where I pray I never have a hater that plans as well and executes hate so efficiently as Kendrick Lamar. This man hates the level of hate. Okay, so if you are not aware, in the beef between Drake and Kendrick Lamar, the first song that you could say maybe even kicked off the whole thing, some people say it was like that, but some people say it was First Person Shooter. And in First Person Shooter, Drake says, Big as the what? Big as the Super Bowl. And I guess Kendrick said, challenge accepted. Because you're not ready for the level of hate I can bring. And then there was a whole beef and this whole thing happened. And, you know, Kendrick kind of, I don't know, I guess ruined Drake's life. And then it's announced that Kendrick is going to be doing the Super Bowl halftime show. And Drake, he started suing different parties. He started suing in different ways, different lawsuits claiming different things, some defamation. Some were just petitions to get information, claiming that Not Like Us, the song that I'm assuming plays in Drake's head 24/7. You know, that song that they use bots. They must use bots. That's why it's so popular and everything. And then he withdrew one lawsuit and he filed another lawsuit. And it would seem, I'm not Drake and I'm not on his team and I don't know his lawyers, but it would seem that all these lawsuits are to, in some way, hopefully, possibly, stop Kendrick Lamar from performing Not Like Us at the Super Bowl. That is what a lot of people think all of this is about. He just doesn't want him to perform that song at the Super Bowl. And so maybe he thinks that if he causes enough legal trouble and kicks up enough of a fuss, that the NFL will be like, hey, Mr. Lamar, Mr. Morale. I heard it. Great album. If you could not do this one, because we just don't want to be involved in any suits and stuff. I think that's what Drake was hoping. And it appears that that has not worked, because then a representative for the NFL came out and said, Kendrick can do whatever songs he wants, whatever. It's his halftime show. So let him perform. You know what I mean? And That's gotta be rough. that must be rough if you're Drake to hear that. Because now all Drake can potentially do is sue sound. That's the only thing he hasn't tried. If he comes out and is like, hey, anybody making noise can get it, all right? Only thing I can think of. You know what I mean? Because it must be terrifying. If you're Drake, to think that Kendrick might perform Not Like Us at the Super Bowl halftime show, one of the most watched events in television, period, might be him doing a song he wrote about you. A song that already, as I'm speaking, has won 3 Grammys. That's gotta be terrifying, to think that he might go out there and perform Not Like Us at the Super Bowl. And The audience knows every word. That would be terrible. That would be, because I would never want to know that. Even if somebody made a song that was devastating about me and my life and it really tore me up and everybody liked it, I wouldn't want to know that they knew it word for word. You know? That's got to be terrifying to think that Kendrick Lamar might get out there and perform Not Like Us. Might to a loud stadium of fans screaming. You know? Try and strike a chord, and it's probably
A minor!
I think even scarier than Kendrick performing Not Like Us is the audience performing Not Like Us. Because honestly, anticipation is enough. That's how real entertainment works, you know? Whether he performs it 17 times or he doesn't perform it at all, it's already met the moment in that way. You know, everyone kicking up a stink about it is what actually caused it to get so much attention, just to see if he'll do it. You know? I mean, I hope he does it. I kind of hope it's the only thing he does. Mainly because the Super Bowl halftime show is you know, recorded and has all of its own production elements that gets them submitted for the Emmys. And so there's a chance that this Grammy-winning song might become an Emmy-winning performance. Oh. I will say, though, sometimes it feels like with sports, it's the only time you see so much investment. You see so much come out, like just thrill, agony, all these emotions around a dude's team, around that game, around players and stuff. And I think it's because, like, sports is one of the few places, maybe even one of the last places, that, like, a man can express all the aspects of human emotion. He can cry over his team losing. He can be elated. He can be like giddy, like a little kid or something. And it's one of the last, like, socially acceptable places. It's very easy to say, like, no, you know, just cry. It's okay for men to cry, but you're not ready. I love when people say, like, no, come on. Just break through decades and generations of trauma to just, like, do what feels like what you want to be doing. Well, the only thing stopping you is your mind. As if it's that simple, you know? Sports is one of the last few places that these bonds can be created and that you can fully express yourself. It even creeps up in little different ways. Things that you are innocuous enough, but they run cover for other things, right? Like, let's go. Every one of us here knows a man who has a water bottle. Maybe it's half full, maybe it's a quarter full, but he throws it up in the air and it flips and it flips and it flips. And then if it lands right side up on a flat surface, he will lose his mind. He throws the ball up, it flips, lands right side up. Let's go! Like, let's go was just invented to run cover for dudes crying. It is, go! It's the same mouth movement, it's the same shapes. And if you scream, let's go hard enough, You squint, and when you squint, people can't tell you're crying. Because we've all known a man. All of us here have known a man where his team, whatever the reason it is that he loves that team, it doesn't matter. His team is down. All right? Love this team since he was a little kid. Memories going to the stadium and everything. His team is down. It's a very important game. Playoff game. Maybe the game that decides whether or not his team goes to the Super Bowl. This team that he loves, who maybe has never got this far in a long, long time. And they're down with 3 seconds left. They have possession, and they throw a Hail Mary pass. All right? Wide receiver is running for his life as hard as he can. He jumps up in the air, and then by his fingertips, he manages to get control of the ball in the air. He clenches it tight. He lands. Touchdown. Touchdown. The team was behind, and now they've won. There were 3 seconds left. The game is over. And then your friend, who's not on the team, who's not at the game, your friend on his couch pops up in front of the TV. Let's go! Like truly, as men, I don't even think we would need let's go if we just felt more comfortable saying, I really needed that. Because I even try now to add more sports analogies in the examples that I make, because I feel like it accesses some people who don't get what I'm saying otherwise. There are people that are truly, truly, you know, we give them a bad rap and everybody makes fun of them and everything, but there are people who are genuinely very, very intelligent. You can tell they're intelligent because they find a game that they love and all the game theory around it and all of the possible combinations of what a play could be go through their head. They can screen a play perfectly, almost like it has the lines that we see on the screen, right? But for them, it's playing out perfectly. They know what's happening next. They know someone's made a mistake as soon as the play starts because they understand the game that much. They just don't ever, ever, ever know why their wife is mad. But I think if we incorporated more sports analogies in arguments, people would understand what went wrong. You know what I mean? Like maybe, you know, maybe you're mad at your boyfriend or your husband because he forgot something. He forgot something that was really important, you know? And maybe it was like your sister's birthday and you had so much going on that you asked him to go pick something up and then meet you at the party. And instead of going to pick it up, he just met you at the party. And now the place is closed. And so it looks like you didn't get your sister anything. And so you're upset with him because you asked him for this one thing. And instead of doing it, he just kind of blew it off, or he wasn't paying attention, or he genuinely just forgot and then showed up and he doesn't understand why you're upset. But if you say to him, look, look. It was fourth quarter. It was fourth quarter, and you're at the third yard line. Like, you're in danger of the other team getting a safety. That's how clutch this is. You only have a few seconds to pass off that ball, right? And if you don't do it just right, that's it, you know? We're not coming back from this, you know? And instead of looking out for your receiver who's wide open until 5 p.m., like I said, who's wide open. Instead of passing off to your receiver in that moment, you're looking at your tight end, you're looking at your other receiver, you're looking at defensive linemen for some reason, like your head is just in the clouds, and out of nowhere you allow yourself to get sacked, right? I'm telling you, that husband, that boyfriend, these are good people. He would be like, oh, damn. Her present was the receipt. Oh. Got you. My bad, baby. My bad. Even in instances that people are like insanely divided on, like to the point of threats, to the point of the threat of violence, even in political arguments, if you use some sort of football analogy, sometimes that cuts through, you know? Like if Trump is the quarterback. And he hikes the ball, because this is the play that he called. He called this play. Just so, this was his play that he wanted. He gets to call the play. Not always, not every play, but this play specifically. He called this play because he wanted to do it, because he thought it was a good idea. This was his play, right? And then everybody was open. The tight end was open. The wide receiver was open. All right, defensive backs. Everybody was doing what they were supposed to do. Everybody on the sideline was cheering, giving support like they were supposed to. And everybody on the field was playing their position as best as possible. And the screen was even working well. You know, everybody's moving out of here. People are wide open. And then your quarterback, rather than throwing what could potentially be a touchdown pass, he just sort of threw it out of bounds. Which is confusing. So the next time that y'all huddle up, you ask me like, hey, what was that? What happened? That was the play that you picked. Why'd you throw it out? Were you scared you were gonna get sacked? What is it, a time thing? You're trying to stop the clock? Like you're trying to give him the benefit of the doubt in as many ways as you can. Like, hey, so what's the plan here? You're literally bent over, huddled up, looking in close. What's the plan? What are you doing? What is the goal here? Because I thought I was playing my position perfectly. And then you do the... So what's next? What happened? Tell me what happened. And then your quarterback is like, I think the ball was black. I don't know. I'm just saying that when I tune in to the Super Bowl on Sunday, I plan to watch a good game, hopefully a game that makes sense, hopefully a game that is epic enough that it can yield more analogies for my daily life. And if Kendrick Lamar performs not like us, I'd be a liar if I didn't tell you that even though I wasn't on stage and I wasn't at the game, I wouldn't pop up off my couch like, let's go! Cincinnati, y'all been phenomenal. Thank you so much. Knock it.